Welcome to the Draw.Good Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors, your home of fantasy footy draft all year round. We've been doing our AFL fantasy ranks the past few weeks, and this episode we are talking forwards. I'm your host, Doss, and with me to talk some AFL fantasy forward ranks is Cam McLaughlin. And Cam, it's draft kit release day.
Oh!
Oh, wow!
Doss, what would you say if I told you that there was one place that you could go, one place, to get all of your fantasy football and super coach draft needs for $15? What would you
Cam,
say?
Cam, I would not believe you. That's not possible.
Well, allow me to prove you wrong.
Oh,
if you head
no.
over to the Draft Doctors page right now, there'll be a link there for the draft kit, and you can purchase that kit to get over 120 pages of AFL fantasy and supercoach draft-related content, 15 player profiles for every single team, Doss. We've got burners, breakouts, early, middle, and late draft targets, and the Draft Doctors exclusive range of outcomes. Plus keeper content with the retired statesman, the GOAT. All that for just $15, Doss. 20% going to charity. What do you think about that?
That is amazing, Cam. Where do I get that again? Is it thedraftdoctors.com.au?
It is. It is thedraftdoctors.com.au. Oh my God, it feels bad.
When your hashtag sell out, Cam, you've got to go all in.
Oh,
but no, thank you very much. If you head over and get the kit, it's awesome. We've put a lot of hard work into it, and we hope you really enjoy it. And I hope it helps everyone with their draft day this year. All right, Cam, let's get into it. Our AFL fantasy rankings. And I'm going to do mine this time, Cam. And I'll start with my top five. Going five by five. We'll announce the tiers, but we'll just go in numbers again this week, unlike last week. All right. Number one, Lachie Whitfield. No surprises there. Number two, Dustin Martin. Number three, you might laugh at this one, Cam. Toby Green, number three.
Ooh.
And I'll explain why later. Four, Isaac Heaney. And five, Michael Walters. Cam, you take us through your five and then we'll discuss.
Yeah, absolutely. So number one, Lachie Whitfield. Number two, Dustin Martin. Number three, Jack Stephen. So a little bit different from you there.
Mm.
Number four, Michael Walters. And number five, Isaac Heaney. And if you can reveal yours in the doc, that would be great. There we go.
All righty. So, Cam, let's both talk quickly about the top two picks. Of course, we both have the same here. And I've got Lachie Whitfield in his own tier at tier one. Are you in the same page there?
100%. I think Steve's a little bit cold on Lachie Whitfield this year, thinking that he might be the one that suffers out of the GWS mids, but I still see him pumping out like 105, 110.
I think
clear best option.
Yeah, and I think Steve was kind of the same as well, and I think we're all on the same page. He's probably going to drop a bit, but even still is just that much better than the next forward
in
our opinions. Anyway, I mean, let's look at some of his... He's in a high disposal, high mark team in GWS. He's got a massive ceiling. He only had... Three games in AFL fantasy under 100 out of his 16.
Ooh.
And two of those three, Cam, he was injured. The other one, he had 95 points with a hard tag. This is a beast scorer. So he averaged over 8 marks a game, which is ludicrous if you think about it. And the season high, 40 disposal, 18 mark, 190 fantasy point game against the Blues. So it's just a gun.
Yeah.
We can agree he's our number one. We do see a slight dip there, maybe in the marks, because that's a massive number. But pretty sustainable. High disposals might drop a few as well. All right, number two, Dustin Martin. I have him in his own tier as well. Did you lean that way as well?
Actually, I've got him in a tier with Jack Stephen, which may be a bit controversial. So I think Jack Stephen is going to come back to... He's 30 going into the year, so usually you don't see many people uptick at 30. It's a slow downward trend towards the end of their career, but I have a feeling that I'm a Jack Stephen truther for playing in the midfield at Geelong. I really think they need his leg speed there. I think it would be a massive benefit to the team, and they missed it last year. And with all the injuries that they've got at the moment, you know, Mitch Duncan coming off surgery, Joel Selwood, torn hamstring, I think there's massive opportunity for him to make that spot his own. And if he does, it'll be a high 90s average. So I have them sort of split by about 2 points in average.
Yeah, I don't think it's hot in terms of the fact that I think a lot of people may have the same thinking. I don't, and I do think it is slightly hot looking at it myself. I think role and competition for touches are my concerns for Stevens, as well as basically missing an entire year of footy. When he came back, he was still good last year when he came back, even though he was a little tubby. And it's great to see that he's in a good space mentally as well. It looks and also looks trim and fit, his body at the moment, based on photos as well. So looking healthy all around. So if he does jump in and fill that Tim Kelly void, you're right on track. I think it's going to be more of a mid-forward split, like a 60-40 maybe split role, which still would be a good scoring. I've just got him a little bit lower. But does that mean, Cam, that, you know, if you miss out, you're probably pretty happy if you miss out on those top two forwards. If that's where you've got him ranked, you're probably going to be able to pick him up at a spot you might enjoy picking
up. Yeah, correct. And I think there's going to be a lot of people that will be either high or low. I don't think you'll have those sort of in-betweeners for this guy. And for that reason, I think, you know, if I pick him up as forward one, I'm pretty happy. If I miss on basically the top 10 forwards that are about to go through, I also don't care. To be honest, I think I'm close to a punting forwards strategy this year. Toby Green, though, number three.
Yeah, so Toby Green. No, I'm not a noob, Cam, here. I do think he's going to regress. I'm aware that those monster numbers playing in the midfield late last year, you know, were an aberration because he won't be playing that likely in 2020. But he's still in a great team, heaps of opportunities for goals. Do they go for a bit more of a spread CBA approach? That's something I'm wondering this year, because we've seen how many good players can play through the midfield. We think Green's probably going to play predominantly forward, but even if he does pinch hit at times through the year, we're going to see some big scores. He's in the leadership group, Cam. We like this.
That's what matters.
I think his role, either way, he's a winner, because if he plays a bit more mid, he's going to carve up. If he goes back to his forward role, the team is in a better place and they've got more midfielders to deliver it in there, and he'll kick bags. So I think 90 plus again, and that's all it takes to be a top five forward this year, and with the slight chance of a bit of upside, which, I mean, again, I don't know and I don't expect him to play a heap of mid next year, but with the next guys, Isaac Heaney and Michael Walters, I think there's... You know, Isaac Heaney's kind of the vanilla pick, and I don't see Jack Stephen where you see him at. And then Michael Walters as well, he's got a new coach. He had sort of career-high numbers. Will he replicate? He could, but I'm a little... I think he might be still that forward mid-split that's going to cap his ceiling as well. So
do you think with Toby Green there, so you said about 90 average, is that... sort of low 90s?
Lowish 90s. Like, I've not seen in my projections at the moment, and that could change, but in my projections at the moment, that's why I've got Lachie Whitfield at tier one, Dustin Martin at tier two as a high 90s, and then the third tier goes Toby Green, Isaac Heaney, Michael Walters, and it's all kind of low 90s for me.
Yeah, wow. Okay. I mean, that's really interesting, and it's I mean, we have seen a lot of forwards drop out of the selection process this year. But, I mean, last year, just for instance, I think it went down to the 13th best forward, for the 90-odd mark. I'd still expect some to get dual position later in the game, but, yeah, I can understand your pick five sort of being your 90 mark.
I mean, we just lost so many of those dominant scorers last year, and we could get some more this year. There's no doubt that we could, you know, get some more of those guys, but at the moment I just don't see it. Should we get on to our next five, Cam?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, Jordan Dawson at six, and Cam, I see you've done the same. Not to spoil that, but wowee. Jordan Dawson at six, Jeremy Cameron at seven, Jack Martin at eight, Jack Stephen at nine, and Devin Smith at 10. Cam, take us through your next five.
Yeah, so mine's Jordan Dawson at six, Devin Smith at seven, Jack Zeebel at eight, your favorite player in the world, Tom Lynch, that's a good personality, Tom Lynch, at nine, and Jack Martin coming in at 10.
Yeah.
Interesting.
For new listeners, of course, that is Adelaide Tom Lynch, not handsome Tom from Richmond. All right, I thought Jordan Dawson was going to be a hot take. Cam, you've jumped on board fully. I want to hear, I'm sick of hearing my justifications. I want to go with yours this time.
But I feel like it's just going to be the same thing repeated at you because I totally bought what you were selling. You've walked up to me on the street and with like a shady ass coat and you've just gone, you want Jordan Dawson? You want a better Dawson? And I genuinely think he can be a, you know, sort of high 80s forward. And I think that's probably all you're looking for out of the sixth best forward this year. And he's probably got upside to go bigger as well. And that's probably what I like from him there. Devin Smith, I find it interesting that you've got him a little bit lower. I think we didn't see much out of him last year in the 666. We also, I'd suggest he was carrying an injury the whole time. And then he obviously succumbed to that knee injury later in the season. I think he can go a lot better. He won't go back to his 105, but high 80s is realistic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got that factored in. I think I've factored in sort of games played as a genuine risk. I've got Jack Stephen, who played 7 last year. Obviously, that was not for his body. That was for his mental health, but I've got him a bit lower than you. And also Devin Smith, who only played the 7 last year. I've just discounted him a little bit. And also the fact that we are on the same page that I think he can go through some regression as to that monster 106.6 he averaged in 2018. I just don't see him replicating that. I see less midfield time, likely with some developing mids in there, and a bit of caution with his body coming off the injury as well. And tackle regression was something that I sort of outlined. And then the games played factor. That's probably why I've got him a little lower. Like, I have him probably averaging more than the guys above him, but I just don't want to risk taking that in my top, you know, 10 forwards, putting him ahead of those guys.
Walk me through Jeremy Cameron.
Jeremy Cameron. So, obviously, a great average from him last season in possibly the best team. Plenty of goal opportunities, gun, a huge ceiling, and he'll win you matches as well. So, obviously, we saw him go 150 and was that round 23 last year? Would have won a few people a grand final, you'd imagine. But he may cost you a couple as well. But in a well-balanced team, forward that has a huge ceiling, I think it's pretty solid. And I think he can probably come close, if not replicating that, what he did last year. They were high disposal and second in team total marks last year and sixth overall for goals. They can probably kick more goals as well this year with a healthy team. And they're only 11th for inside 50s. So if they get better at delivering the ball inside 50 with all their mids coming back, I can see him sort of replicating what he did.
Yeah, I think it's a good take. I have him a bit lower, sort of in the next five that we'll go through. But my perspective on it was that I think he was the 18th best forward last year. And I think he was also the first key forward in the list. And so my take on key forwards for this year is that I think that might be the ceiling, what we saw from Jeremy Cameron across the board for key forwards. There was a career year for him, won the Coleman, All-Australian, you know, lots of marks in a mark-happy team. Like, I see a fair bit of regression coming. I'd just be really cautious about key forwards and thinking they can go 90s. I just don't think they can anymore.
Yep, no, fair point. Cam, I think we both need to justify who we've got here in the top 10 as Jack Martin. Do you want to take us through that?
I read an article. So he was apparently carving it up at the Carlton match sim the other day, absolutely everywhere in that. I was already pretty high on him. He, you know, has gone in the 80s before at the Suns. I think he's going to be, geez, it's weird to say that he's going to be in a better team than Carlton, but he's going to be surrounded by better people, better players, and he's going to hopefully be allowed to play a bit more of a free role than that half forward with pinch hitting in the mids that he was at the Sun. So I think, and again, with the caliber of mids that are available this year, that are available this year, I think 85 plus is totally fine for him. And that's, you know, I've got him at 10, you've got him at 8. It's probably about in the right ballpark.
I've got to say, Statesman had a little bit to do with this, saying he's going to go big next year as well. I've been listening to the Statesman a little bit too much there, I think. But I think we can also discount the fact he played the 16 games because they were sort of just chucking him in. Well, they chucked him in the kneeful a couple of times just to say, you know, we know you're not going to stay, so bugger off. So basically, I'd not take too much note of his games played. Like, he was probably okay last year for that.
Yeah.
All right, I'll get into 11 to 15 here, and I've got Jack Zeeble at 11. I had to bite my tongue on that one. I'm not a big fan of the old Jack Zeebs, but he is a scorer. Number 12, Andrew Brayshaw. Number 13, Connor Rosie. 14, ooh, Lipinski. And 15, good personality, Tom Adelaide Lynch.
Wow. Yeah, okay. So my next, I've got Andrew Brayshaw at 11, so one spot higher than you. I've then gone maybe a little bit too hard on James Robot.
Wowee.
We'll run with it. Yep, it's hot. Oh, it burns. Jade Gresham at 13, Kane Lambert at 14, and then I've got Jeremy Cameron in there at 15.
I don't know what's hotter, but I think James Rowbottom's hotter than my take. So you go take us through James Rowbottom at 12.
It is.
At 12, Cam.
Yeah, but again, like having a look at what he needs to average to do well at 12, he probably needs to pump out about an 82 to 85 average. And this is a guy who he's going into his second big year. He played the 7 games last year and he was adequate. Didn't really have any fantasy relevance, but I think he's in for a second year breakout this year. He's been playing in the mid in match sim, and I know that there's more people that run through the mid in match sim than go to the library in the US. It's a random stat for you.
Okay.
Did you know that? Anyway, so James Rowbottom, I really think that he's probably going to take a big jump for the Swans this year. He's going to be sort of mid-80s player, and that's awesome for a 12th forward.
I'm all about the Rowbottom, but I'm not that hard on the breakout. And I do, I love backing him in, Cam. Who do you think's going to be pushed out of their midfield if Rowbottom's going to get more time? I love it because he was a good points per minute scorer, low time on ground. I'm huge on a second year breakout for Rowbottom, but that is a big breakout if he's... I don't know if you're saying that 82, 85... Maybe that's probably where we're at this point, but I think a tad higher, like 85-ish, is where I'm still projecting people at this point.
Yeah.
That's pretty big
and
jump.
And to be honest, I still think he can do it. I'm not overly worried, and it's probably something that we're going to look at later on the You Suck Show, but at the same time, I should, it's a combination of gut feel... what has happened in preseason at the Swans. And also, they lost Zach Jones last year. They lost, JPK is getting a year older. There's a little bit of uncertainty there. Isaac Heaney's probably not going into that midfield more than he did last year because he's too valuable up forward. I think there is space for him there.
All right. I'll take us through Connor Rosie for me at 13. We've also got the hashtag more midtime on the cards for Rosie. Plus, he is just fantastic, obviously, when he'll push forward if he does get this midtime. So, high disposal game plan for Port. They're second in the league, top for inside 50. So, for when he does push forward, if they can replicate that, which I think they can with both of those things. They're one of the teams that haven't had any coaching sort of mix-up unless hashtag Hinkley out goes through at some point. But Rosie, just a generational player. I think he can bump up those disposals and tackles with the more mid-time. And you just add a couple on. Like, he only averaged about 15 touches. Like, pretty good ratio of seven and a half to seven and a half sort of handballs, kicks. Think he can bump that up, come close. Even if he just comes close to 20 disposals. And his tackles was 4 tackles playing primarily as a forward. If he just gets one more in the midfield, can hover around that one goal again. Like, you're looking at 80 to 85, and I've got him at a higher end, like close to 85. So that could be my material for the You Suck Show, Cam, but I am willing to back it in. I just love the way he goes about it. And I think in Port's system, he could score really well if he gets the mid-time.
Yep. I had him really high before, to be honest, and then I switched him out just before the show. I think he's an absolute gun, and I think it's a good take, to be honest.
All right. Is there any other players you want to talk about, or should we just move on to the next little bit here?
I think the main one would be Jade Gresham, just quickly, okay, because there's a lot of uncertainty at the Saints. 5 new players in. Who's playing where? Is Jade Gresham going to play more forward? Is he going to play in the mid? Is Dan Hand going to actually play at all? How is Jack Steele no longer playing as a tagger? And what does that mean for pushing the rest of the mid pieces around? I think people are overthinking it a little bit too much. And there's probably you know, Jade Gresham himself has come out and said that he's going to play more in the midfield this year.
Okay.
Last year, he said it was a 60-40 split, and they're looking for a different split, more weighted towards midfield.
Wow, okay.
So he already scored pretty well last year. I think there's a chance he goes about the same this year. But yeah, I think maybe just don't overthink that one too much. He's going to be a solid pick.
Yeah, right. And according to my stats here, from rounds 11 to 23, he averaged over 90 points after starting the season pretty slow. So,
from memory, his CBA's ticked up there as well. So, there's every chance that's going to...
The internal competition made me not go as hard. I agree. He can say all he wants that he's going to play more midfield, but when it comes down to it, there's a lot of mouths to feed now, I think. But I'm with you. I've just got him a few spots down. I've got him at 17 at the moment. So you had him at 13. I mean, there's not a huge difference there. But anyway, all right. Cam, let us talk about the other guys who are doing a podcast as well. So if you want to catch the Super Coach pod, that is with Steve and Jono. Go check that out as well. What else we got? Oh, iTunes reviews, Cam. We've hit 250 ratings.
I can't believe it.
The Statesman.
Have you seen the footage of Statesman doing a kickflip?
No, I haven't yet, Cam. Is that out yet?
No, I haven't seen it either. Do you think he's done it?
I don't think he has.
I think he's done it.
But I better get that book on board because I can see that nobody's going to do anything until this damn book comes out. Even though I wrote the bloody poem, and I read it to Baby Fears, they still want me to produce a physical copy of this damn book. Anyway, thanks heaps for all the iTunes ratings and reviews. We do appreciate it. Keep them coming through. And I think Steve's up next on the
Bet.
So that's going to be interesting. We'll have to flow a few ideas out on the socials as to what Steve's going to do. But I think there's going to be something great coming there. All right, let's get through our 16 to 20 ranks here from my perspective. And I've got Jaden Stevenson at 16, Jade Gresham at 17, Chad Wingard at 18, Gary Ablett Jr. at 19, and at 20, Brad Ebert. Cam, take us through yours.
It finally happened. We have a completely different five. So I jump in with Toby Green. Big drop from Doss's 3 down to my 17.
Huge.
Connor Rosie at 17, so just a little bit different there. Patrick Lipinski, Brandon Parfitt, and Hugh Greenwood.
Where do we start, Cam?
Oof, Jesus, there's a lot. Can you talk me through Ebert?
Ebert, yeah. I mean, by all accounts, he is healthy, which is pretty much the major risk with Ebert. He only played 11 games last year, had the concussion and then a hamstring or knee. It was a knee. So it is really risky. I admit that he could drop a fair bit down. But again, it's sort of that high disposal game plan that they've got. And I think that potentially with the Rosie move into the midfield, I think it's going to be a bit more of a switch. I think he's fine as a forward. Like, I think he's okay as a scorer, as a forward, and he could, again, pinch hit in the midfield, although I tend to think he'll play more as a forward this year, but he was scoring okay as a forward last year. I mean, he had the average of 80 from his 11 games, and he's been consistent every year before that. He's played ridiculous amounts of games. I don't have the numbers on me, but I'm pretty sure he's a guy that's just played 22 after 22 year after year until last year. So I don't know. I'd back him in for a bounce back if he's not ancient. He's only about 29. Unlike Gary Ablett, who I have ahead of him, who is ancient, who I probably feel worse about Gary there. And I know that you've got him a fair bit lower than I do. So that's just respect to the GOAT right now. He played 21 games last year, which was the highest since 2013 or something, which is crazy. And he's 36 next year. So I feel really gross about that. But I don't know. I still have faith that the GOAT can pump out a nice score. Cam, take me through a few other of these players. Brandon Parfitt.
Yeah, we'll go with Parfitt. So he, for me, I was so cold on him about 2 months ago. I thought that the role that he played last year would be the role that he's going to play for the rest of his career. And Geelong has this like terrible habit of getting players who start their career really well and then sort of putting him in a position that kind of has no impact, and then they lose favor with the coach and they end up getting traded. Right, so they've got history here, and I thought that was where Parfitt was probably going to end up. Then, you know, I keep on thinking back to 2018. And in 2018, when Chris Scott was asked, who's the one guy that you can throw in the midfield? It was him, right? And then he did, and he scored 130. Like, he's an absolute gun in there. I thought, well, you know, why can't he do that next year? I keep on talking about why he won't do it. But why he can do it is all of the injuries and opportunity. So I think you're going to see Ablett, and the reason I've got Ablett way further down is because he's not going to get the stints that he got this year in the midfield. He did pinch hit last year, and it allowed him to get tackles and disposals, and everything sort of went up a little bit more. I think he won't get that.
Did he pinch hit?
I
don't remember putting his name down in the CBAs much.
So he didn't. Sorry, he pinch hit around the ball. He didn't pinch hit in CBAs.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Okay. Yeah. And look, he was really serviceable there. I just don't think you're going to see it this year. And they're going to allow some of the younger talent to come through and actually take that time. A lot of people would say it's more likely Constable. My chips are in on Parfitt. And, you know, if he does get that role, expect some good things.
Okay. That's a pretty decent justification, I suppose. I've just got a lot of midfielders ahead. Of him, and like I've been a big fan of him too, so I just ended up settling that there's like, let's go through all the guys that could play midfield at Geelong next year. You've got Jack Stephen, obviously Dangerfield's locked in there. You've got Selwood, Duncan when he's healthy, Guthrie, Menegola, then Parfitt, Constable, Narkle. Like, there's just so many names that could do it, and that's why I erred on the side of caution for him. And put him a little lower.
Yeah.
But if he gets the role, scoring's not going to be a problem. We'll talk about quickly Hugh Greenwood, and then I think we'll move on.
Yeah, Hugh Greenwood. I just think when... Jeez, he's a bit of a pain because everyone's probably picked him up off the waiver wire at some point in their draft career. I know I've done it probably three times last season. But he seems to just always be able to pump out those 90 scores. And he sort of... offsets those with a few 60s here and there. So he is quite inconsistent. But, you know, new team, he's going to have less competition on the inside. And he can rack up the tackles. He put some massive tackle numbers up through the year last year and the year before, playing as a sort of pseudo tagger at Adelaide. And I think he's probably going to be in for the same role. You know, if you had your chips in on Sean Lemons, which no one did, I'd be a bit worried because I think Greenwood's going to come in and fill that void.
Yeah, I need Marsh from him, to be honest. I think it's mid-forward role, and going from what this is where I settled on. He's going from the third highest disposal team to dead last. Also, from a mid-table inside 50s team to bottom table, like the very bottom. So if he's...
Yeah.
If he's forward or mid, he's going to, you know, the way you've probably described the way he scores, if he tackles, because, you know, that's his bread and butter. So I can see a score build. I just need to see it. So I actually just have him outside my 30 here.
You basically can't. I don't think you can put him up forward.
Mm.
And the reason I don't think you can play him up forward is because he can't kick straight. Like, his disposal efficiency is so bloody poor that, you know, good luck kicking it between the sticks. Whereas if all he has to do is tackle... crumb, handball.
He's a pretty good overhead mark. He's actually... Though. That's the thing, up forward.
Yeah, but he can't kick it. Yeah.
All right, fair. Let's go through 21 to 25. I have bought into the hype a little bit here, Cam. Jonathan Segler at 21.
Whoa.
Darcy Parrish, 22. Darcy McPherson, 23. Christian Petrarca, 24. And Jordan Dugowie, 25. Cam, you're 21 to 25.
Jordan Dugowie at 21 for me, Robbie Gray at 22, Darcy McPherson, 23, Darcy Parrish at 24, and Chad the Chad at 25. So, man, Segler.
Yeah.
You must think McAvoy's playing defense.
Well, Cam, it's that salesman with the disgraceful sales pitch on the street. You've come up to me in the ruck pod and you've almost got me, and then I see some articles, I hear some murmurs. It's got me scared for McAvoy. It's got me a little bit hyped on Segs.
I think Segler's such a good pick in draft this year. Like, I hate, like, when you've got a four-person bench, I really hate having a second ruck. But Segler, you know, that ruck forward is just so juicy. You could probably field him as a forward and be okay if he's your F5. And you won't have to pick him up earlier than
It's gold. Did you just not include him for the ruck factor?
No, I had him just outside. He was a just miss for me.
Right. Yeah. Interesting. All right. The other people in there, I think, there's not too much there. Like, I wouldn't argue with sort of any of those. I think we can pretty much move on pretty quickly. Like, they're all sort of around those. You're thinking sort of 80, low 80s sort of thing for this sort of factor.
Oh, yeah. Scraping 80.
All right. I'll go through my next five. I've got Bailey Smith at 26. I had to have a Bailey, you know that. 27, Kane Lambert, which is probably a pretty big difference to you. 28, Matt Suckling. 29, Blake Akers. And 30, the hype train, Chase Jones.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Kane Lambert.
Was I going until there, Ken? Let's take us through your 26 to 30 then.
Yeah, okay. So, Jai Simkin, 26. Christian Petracca at 27. Blake Akers, 28. Brett Bewley at 29. Bewler.
And you scoff at me.
And Gary the Goat Ablett at 30.
All right. I think, to be honest, like, I think I can justify some of these. Maybe they're too low. You're talking about in terms of Kane Lambert. I know Smith and Jones are going to talk about. I want you to talk to me about Jai Simkin.
Yeah, I actually think he knows how to get the ball, Dots. Like, he can find his own ball. North have come out and said they're going to play more of the youngsters through there and switch Higgins to a more high half forward role.
Yep.
It's probably going to be a mix of Tarryn Thomas, Jai Simkin, and maybe some Paul Ahern through that mid a little bit more. I just think he's in for a really good year, to be honest. No, you're going to get him as a bargain. I don't think he'll be drafted. You'll either be able to pick him up off the waiver or he'll be a very, very late draft. And look, I'm ranking him at 26 because I genuinely think he can go 80. I think it'll be good.
Okay. Wow. Okay. I like the call. I mean, he showed a ceiling, had big CBA numbers as we sort of recorded. They liked him in there even last year. So there should be a marked improvement in year four. He only had the 66.7 average. He's certainly going to be way down on your draft boards. And yeah, he could break out. I don't see as huge a breakout as you. I think he's quite inconsistent with his scoring, goes up and down. Like, he had 3 tons with 2 over 110, which shows that he can do it big. But then obviously with his average, he didn't. That was not a consistent thing. It was very few and far between. So, I mean, I sort of had him closer to a mid 70 or like pushing mid 70, and then maybe a future breakout type thing. But yeah, respect if he does it this year. I think they've just got too many guys that they, like you talked about, the young guys they're going to run through there. Look who else they've got that they're probably going to have to run through as well. You've got Tarryn Thomas, LDU. They ran with a tagger at times. That Kyron Hayden they used to tag last year. Is Ben Jacobs back this year?
He's back,
So Ben, you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm a bit concerned that he'll maintain the CBAs, even though he probably will.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's an argument either way. It's a March series watch, but it's, again, you're not going to pay anything for it. So,
I'll take you through Bailey Smith.
Yeah, please.
So, 69, very nice average in only 72% game time in his first season, okay? 85 average in his last 5 when he only went under 75% time on ground once. He's just too good, and he will force some mid time. And he was one that actually continued to get some CBAs even when they had the Dunkley, McRae, Bont big three just constantly in there. He still went in there. Even with the more forward time that he probably will get anyway, as opposed to what he had for some of the season, I think he'll still do a fair bit better because he's going to be on the ground more with the time on ground. So he didn't even have a full preseason in year one and played 22 games. Do you remember that? He had to not train as much because he was training too hard and they had to pull him back because this guy is just a weapon.
What? All right. Yeah. I find it really interesting about why his time on ground went up. Do you remember why that was?
Honestly, I think I think it was just the fact that he built into the season. Like, remember how I was saying that he was going too hard early on. I think they just wanted to not push him too hard too early. And yeah, he just gradually built as the season went on. And the way I look at it for the Dogs as well, like, we talk about all these Dogs scoring huge. They can't all score huge, clearly, but they're a top 5 inside 50 team. They're 4th, top 5 disposals, 4th again, 5th in team marks, and 5th in team goals. Like, they're just good at all the fantasy stuff.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
I actually think it's fine. Like, I've got him just missing the 30. I think, you know, could be quite good. Well done.
Yes. Chase Jones as well. He's just sneaks into that top 40 based on the top 30, based on the hashtag hype and so much opportunity at the Crows. He could slide down easily with a Marsh game. I've got a few guys outside the top 30 that I'd be happy sort of replacing him with as well.
Yeah. I mean, so I've got just outside, just quickly, I've got Gunston, Jones, Fritsch, Stevenson, Segler, and Westhoff. All, you know, depending on Marsh, yeah, could just slot in there. Probably anywhere up to rank 23, I reckon, is probably disposable.
I think a sneaky one that's coming in at 31 for me is Jack Darling.
Oh, yeah.
I've put him at 31, and he could even sneak in above that. He averaged 80.5 from rounds 11 to 23.
Yeah, he had a banger.
You'd expect a few more inside 50s this year for the Weegs. I'm just trying to look at their stats for the inside 50s. But, yeah, they were 14th inside 50s, which, I mean, Tim Kelly, I think, may help with that as well.
Yep.
So, yeah, pretty decent shout going Jack Darling. So he averaged 60 in his first 10, 80 in his last 12.
Yeah,
decent chance. James Rowbottom was just outside for me. Robbie Gray, I think, is going to regress a little bit with all my predictions for other Port players doing better. I think Robbie, I don't see him maintaining this average forever. The 80 sort of, I think him just under the 80 this year. Hugh Greenwood, who probably could, like I said, bump up. Matty Taberner, just a little bit of a shout out for Matty T. Only the 9 games last year, the 86 average. Do you reckon some people are going to get tricked on that draft?
You know what? Is it a trick?
Ooh.
Yeah. So I actually...
The big rig.
He, you know, key forwards that run up the wing are the only ones that are still going to be able to score really well. And he does that consistently. So I don't know. Is it a trick? It's not for me, but, you know. Someone will take him for sure.
Just a quick couple of other names that I'll mention. Tommy Mack, a little bit further down there for me. Mitch Lewis, a bit of a breakout, but a bit further down as well, around your 40 sort of mark. And Cam, was Lance Franklin in your thoughts before the injury as a top 30 guy?
Yeah, he was. So he was sort of in my teens at that point. I had him quite high. And then, you know, one injury was enough to send him flying out the top 30. And now he's actually firmly on my do not draft list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the go with Jack Gunston? Is that injury? He's injured, right?
Yeah, he is injured at the moment. It's a Marsh series watch. There hasn't been much information come out in the last couple of weeks about it.
All right, Cam, that's it for the ranks. We'll now get to some questions from social media. We are at The Draft Doctors on Twitter. Chuck us a follow. Find out all the stuff that's going on for The Draft Doctors. All right, this one comes from Russ. Whilst Stevens is a risk, that's Jack Stephen, I think he's talking about. Stephen, Russ. I think with Kelly gone, Parfitt could get hashtag more mid-time and become an 82-plus mid/forward. Very specific. Should the fantasy community be fawning over him as much as we are doing with Andy Brayshaw?
Yeah, I don't think Stephen's a risk, to be honest. But I'm, as I've said, already quite pumped on Parfitt. 82-plus, sure, lock it in.
All right, we got Big Cox asks, do you feel dirty ranking Ebert as a top 10 forward? Higher than Petrarca or Akers, he's asking. I snagged him out of the pool late last year. Humble brag in the Draft Doctors Keeper League.
That is dirty, and yes, you should feel dirty. I wouldn't rank him as top 10. I don't think either of us did. You know, even a slight breeze could cause retirement.
Okay. Okay, we've got another one. This one's from Alex. With forwards pretty thin, what draft strategy are you taking going into the draft regarding forwards? Also, do you rank any mids higher who may be a forward DPP chance?
I'd never draft based on the fact of DPPs because it's so risky. And then punt forwards, you know, we've got the mock draft site coming out this week and it's a really good chance for you guys to get in, have a look at, you know, your different strategies. And I've been on it already and punting forwards is working for me.
All right, the next one comes from Scott Warwick, or as I like to call him, Scott Warwick.
Oh no.
He wants to know about good personality Tom Lynch. So we ranked him at 15. Cam ranked him at 9th, and I mean, I could be a little higher on him as well. I think we're pretty keen on him. High disposal game plan at the Crows. They've lost all their goal-kicking forwards. He's going to be up the ground, picking up those marks. Probably health is an issue because he missed a few games last year, but that's probably it, Cam. Do you agree?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
And probably the new coach. Little worry there, but
yeah,
should be fine.
Yeah.
Dynamite FC, what's the likelihood of Dalhouse taking back up his semi-fantasy friendly role at Geelong with off-season player movement, i.e. Jack Stephen?
0% chance Dalhouse will be playing the same role.
Okay, Anthony Alal asks, thoughts on Lipinski and Gresham? Well, we've both got him in our top 30. What about you for Lipinski? I think we're a little bit fairly different there. You had him 18. Oh, no, not too different. I had him 14, you 18. I think he's still going to be fine with the high disposal sort of game plan. He's going to be a little bit more outside, probably not as big a scores, but I mean, I don't know. I kind of have him similar to what he averaged last year almost, even though there was a few aberration big scores when he was playing midfield.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, and I think this is just my like mindset with him. I see him still as fringe. And I don't know.
Wow.
I know. And I know he was really, really good last year. But still, you know, I think he'll probably play a lot of... He might play every game this year. But I really see him maybe regressing a little bit.
Yeah, I can. I just think he's... I really like Lipinski. I've liked him for a while.
Yeah.
But it was awesome to see him break. That was a big breakout for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, either way is sort of on the cards. And it's kind of a riskier selection,
and
for sure.
It, as far as tiering goes, like, and between the two, like, I think we have them in the same tier. Well, I have them in the same tier. I think you're just maybe Gresham is the top of your next one from memory.
Yeah, only, yeah, just outside. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. And do you want to just quickly talk about Gresham? I think we've talked about him enough.
Covered that.
You like him. Tom DT, expectations for Menegola. He's midfielder only this year, but surely he bounced back. Surely he bounces back this year. What are your thoughts on Menegola, Cam?
March series watch. I mean, I'd be really interested if he was mid forward, but I'm a little bit concerned about his role. He's, you know, a really good ball winner, but they've already got that at the Cats. So I think they need more speed, and that's probably where they'll go.
All right, Andrew asks, he's going to be drafting his first keeper league in AFL fantasy, starting from scratch. What three strategies would you recommend? I think, Cam, you're a big fan of drafting two wins straight away. Don't care about the age, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I get that from Statesman. And I'll tell you what, another cheeky plug for the draft kit. We have some Statesman exclusive keeper content in the draft kit, which we'll talk a little bit about starting up a new keeper league and some strategies that you might want to employ for your draft.
Wow. All right. We'll have a read of that. I think there's a couple of other options you can go. Just go for the youth option, I suppose, which just try and build from youth. And then you can go the other option, which is obviously just go veterans at the start and then a couple of youth punts late if you're just sort of scraping the barrel. But definitely read the Statesman, much more experienced in the keeper leagues than us, Cam, with a bit more success than us as well,
yeah,
I would
correct.
Say. All right, that's all the questions. Thank you very much for listening to The Draft Doctors. Remember to check out the draft kit, which is available now. Go to the website, check it out,
woo,
book it, order it if you will. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll be getting to our midfielders next week, the juicy stuff. Tune in then.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.